This is the Bulls Talk Podcast presented by Coors Light. I'm Casey Johnson, joined by my NBC Sports Chicago teammates, Rob Schaefer and Tony Gill. Coming up on the show, we're going to get into Zach LaVine's projected at least 2-week absence as he enters the health and safety protocols and the impact that will have on a team that was already struggling since the trade deadline at just 3-8. We'll also offer our thoughts and opinions on what should be the new starting lineup moving forward with Zach out. And we'll get into a little bit of the Bulls' defensive issues over this tough stretch.
The Angie's List you know and trust is now Angie, and we're so much more than just a list. We still connect you with top local pros and show you ratings and reviews, but now we also let you compare upfront prices on hundreds of projects and book a service instantly. We can even handle the rest of your project from start to finish. So remember, Angie's List is now Angie, and we're here to get your job done right. Get started at Angie.com. That's A-N-G-I, or download the app today.
Born in the Rockies, Coors Light is lagered cold for a crisp, clean taste. Filtered cold to ensure clarity and brightness. And packaged cold for peak refreshment. Because those who thirst for more deserve the world's most refreshing beer.
Let's go. So here we go on the Bulls Talk Podcast. Joined by my colleagues at NBC Sports Chicago, Rob Schaefer and Tony Gill. Jason Goff will be back with you probably on the next episode. And we went from always recording to Tony not being able to find the record button. Management Tony has strike one against him, but we shouldn't be cracking jokes on a day of some disappointing news for the Bulls. Zach LaVine has entered the league's health and safety protocol. We reported at NBC Sports Chicago he's going to be out at least 10 to 14 days, which is a pretty lengthy absence for a team that is already struggling. We probably were going to be a little bit of a negative podcast today, even before the Zach news. And obviously your thoughts are with him as he navigates a health situation that is difficult. And hopefully he comes out of it in good shape. But Bulls are going to be without him for, upwards of 2 weeks. And they're 3-8 since the trade deadline, coming off of two incredibly disappointing losses to the Timberwolves and Orlando Magic. So let's start with the Zach news, guys. Rob, you threw out some numbers, not to turn a health situation into a basketball situation, but this is a basketball podcast and we cover a basketball team. So pretty gruesome without Mr. Zach. Now, a lot of those numbers came before they acquired Nikola Vucevic, so hopefully that will help but mitigate the absence. But why don't you throw those at us, Rob?
No, it's going to be tough sledding. I mean, Zach has been, we've talked about this really ever since the ACL tear, obviously when he was 21 years old. He's really taken durability seriously. He's taken being in the lineup seriously. So he's only missed a game this year, has played through injury. That was obviously the Suns game where the Bulls started the jumbo lineup with Lauri Markkanen at the three. They lost that game. But so other than that, or I guess that is included in these numbers, but on the season, the Bulls' offensive rating with Zach LaVine on the floor is they're scoring at 112.6 points per 100 possession. That drops to 101.5 with him off. Now, that's the difference between basically a slightly above average offense and dead last in the NBA by a wide margin. And, I don't say that because it's inordinate necessarily compared to any other team that is built or constructed around, one superstar that is the source of a lot of the team's offense. But it just shows that it's going to be tough sledding here. I mean, as you illustrated, Casey, not only are they 3-8 since the deadline, 3-7, because Zach misses that one game in there, this 4-game losing streak, just every loss has been kind of excruciating in its own way. And they've been largely healthy. I mean, Garrett Temple just had his first game back after not playing since March 29th the other day against the Magic, played 10 minutes and has kind of built himself back up here. But other than that, they've pretty much been whole. And it's been an adjustment period since the trade deadline, and it hasn't looked good. So now you lose your best player. I think there's a real threat that the wheels could come off here pretty quickly, especially offensively. You hope that Vucevic can help you a little bit here, or maybe there's a little bit of a jolt where you pick up a few scrappy wins here and there. But it is bleak. It is certainly bleak overall. And we just got to see how they navigate this. We got to see what this 10 to 14 timeline ends up looking like, if it ends up holding to that, if it ends up being, longer or less or whatever. But it's going to be tough sledding. It's going to be tough sledding. That much is certain.
You know, when the news first came out, I was like, okay, now it's decision time. Really? Do they keep pushing to kind of prove that the right move was this trade and fight for that 10th playoff, you know, play in, or do they start thinking about, okay, how do we get into this top four so we can get this pick back? Like, if you're a Bulls fan, I think that's the two thoughts that you have is how much is it worth trying to fight for a play-in game that you probably are going to lose anyway? Like, I mean, it'd be cool, right, to get that extra game. I mean, it's a fake playoff game in terms of the whole grand scheme of things, but it is a game of more significance than they've had in the last, you know, two or three seasons. You can take that with what you will, but it's just weird at this point that, like, what have been the kind of the for lack of a better word, excuses in terms of why this hasn't worked out so far? Lack of practice time together, too many, you know, games consecutively and stuff like that, which are all valid. But again, like Jason said in the post game after the Magic game, all these teams are dealing kind of with that. So you're not, you know, this doesn't exclude you. But again, with Zach being out for this amount of time, it's still the same issue, right? Like, when he comes back, you still haven't had practice time with him, you know, all together. So what do you do then? And it's just going to look awful. It's going to look really, really bad. I don't see them winning any significant amount of games. And right now, it's all in Toronto's hands if they want to actually be a real NBA team and kind of what they've been doing so far.
Well, Wizards are right there too, right?
The Wizards are also a game back. And they are obviously trying to win. They have been all season, which has kind of made it even more comical that they haven't passed the Bulls yet. I mean, this whole bottom of the Eastern Conference playing is kind of a joke. I can't believe it's even a thing. And then the Cavs are somehow two games back. And I think the Magic are 3.5, 4.5, 2. And Wendell Carter Jr. talking to him last night as we're recording this.
Hilarious.
He said they're targeting the play-in as a goal for them for this season. So everybody's in the party. We just, you know, it's just a matter of, are the Bulls, even if they wanted to, and I don't, this regime and this coaching staff and these players don't necessarily strike me as willing to just like pack it in and be like, all right, we're going to tank for the top four seed. Like, the whole point of the trade in the first place was to set the tone of we're tired of losing. We're going to flip the culture around and we're going to be a winning organization. But you know, it could derail. There's also the possibility where, again, if they pick up even a handful of wins here, the teams behind them are not necessarily inspiring to the point that you think they're going to like sprint past them at this point. Cause if they were going to, they probably would have already. If you're talking about losing three of your last 11 games in four in a row, and they still haven't really lost their grip on the 10th seed here. So it'll be interesting. And to your point about getting up into the top four, Tony, it is, so right now the Bulls are, as of this speaking, they're in the 10th spot in the lottery odds, a half game ahead or behind, whatever you want to call it. Of the Kings are in 9th, Toronto and Washington, obviously a game back, that's 8-7. Cleveland is two games ahead or behind, whatever you want to call it, for 6th. So there is a world where they could rock it up farther, but that's just not where this regime or anybody thought that they were going to be at the trade deadline. So it's a tough pill to swallow, to be sure.
No, and I rarely have strong sports opinions, but I'm going to swat Tony's debate into the stands pretty quickly here. Cause you can't play that game.
Of course not.
You've talked about, you can't try to finagle your lottery position at this stage. Not after you go trade for Vucevic, not after you have a coach and Billy Donovan who's been talking about building championship habits to this point. I get it. It's deflating. You're going for a somewhat meaningless playing game like that. You said you probably or may very well lose. You know, you just don't play that game. You play to win down the stretch here. You hope Zach gets back and is healthy and able to, you know, contribute at a high level. And look, I'm not trying to like spin the trade here, because the trade clearly was a win now move. But the trade also was made for the future. And Arturas said it himself, like, we want to make this franchise relevant again and attractive again. If you're tanking and then trying to make more additions this offseason, that's a bad look. And, you know, I think this is going to be a multi off season plan in terms of what is coming next, but they're not done. You know, they traded Vucevic to pair with LaVine and go do more. So now LaVine's out for a little bit. You try to do what you can. And as Rob said, I mean, Toronto's not been good. So you just try to do what you can until LaVine hopefully gets back at a healthy and high level and see where the season goes. But if you're playing for lottery positioning, that's just not a good look for the first year of this regime or this franchise or what they've publicly stated to us.
And you know, like, and I get that. And I 100% agree. I just said this kind of like as a, you know, a possibility, but again, I guess my worst fear is, and I know like I haven't been out on this regime, you know, I still want to see what they do this off season with this group. But as of right now, if we want to just dissect just one part of the floor, like defensively, like, I mean, you got at the top and at the bottom of your defense, two guys, Zach and Vooch, who aren't really that great, you know, defensively. Like, how do they build around that? Also trying to find two-way players to supplement the lack of offense that the starters aren't getting. And it doesn't feel like there's a clear path to that. And I guess that's the fear, that when it comes down to it, your best two players are Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic going up against the likes of, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks, the Miami Heats, the Brooklyn Nets, you know, and you're going in with these. Yeah, they're two all-stars technically, but there's still tiers to this. And that's kind of like my biggest fear is like they won't be able to get a piece or fix this enough to make it tangible for another top tier guy to be like, I can work with this.
Yeah. And without the picks, you've lost two bullets, two pieces of ammunition to be able to go and do that potentially. I think it's a deal that is obviously made with the eye on the kind of 1 or 2 year window here and just having a two all-star foundation. And then you hope that you can make supplemental moves in the off season and build around them. But it certainly adds to how difficult it's going to be that you don't have those assets to work with, or you don't have that to fall back on. So I'll be curious to see what they do, because they have a lot of work to do. Obviously the defensive stuff, just, it can't be ignored, Tony. I think the biggest thing that they have to hope for at this point, and it's their biggest like wild card or X factor, is the development of Patrick Williams. Like, if he makes a seismic leap from year one to year two, or even looking a year down the line and it's year two to year three, that is the guy who all eyes are going to be on at some point here to grow into, if not a third star, just a third piece that is giving you that two-way impact.
No, he needs to be a third star.
Yeah.
He needs
to be a third star. Yeah.
Four, yes.
100%. Yeah. Okay. Yeah, yeah. No, you're right. You're right.
He's the fourth overall pick in the draft, and he's your first targeted draft pick from the new regime. Obviously, the now somewhat paling in comparison to their next, the new biggest move, which is acquiring an all-star in Nikola Vucevic and paying the going price for acquiring an all-star, which is a lot of draft capital and a young player.
Hey guys, wanted to take a few seconds to tell you about Geology. Geology is all about personalized skincare for men. It's easy to use, simple, 4 products, and I promise no chemistry degree required. What you're going to do is go to geology.com, take a quick diagnostic test, tell Geology what kind of results you want to see, and they're going to set you up with a dermatologist-designed regimen for you in real time. It's simple, it's effective, the results speak for themselves. They've gotten over 3,000 five-star reviews, best of grooming awards, featured in Esquire, Rolling Stone, Mashable, BuzzFeed. These guys are legit. They're here to help you have the best skincare regimen that you could possibly have, look and feel the best that you possibly can. So make sure you're going to geology.com for the best personalized skincare experience that you're pretty much gonna find anywhere.
We are driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform with over 350 million global monthly visitors. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/match.
Just go to Indeed.com/match right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/match. Terms and conditions apply. Need to hire? You need Indeed.
Okay, it's time to commit. 2024 is the year for prioritizing yourself. Begin your new smile journey with Byte, and you could start seeing results in just 2 to 3 weeks. Just order your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95 at Byte.com. Byte clear liners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer financing options, accept eligible insurance, and you could pay with your HSA, FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's Byte.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
You know, there's a lot to parse through here. What I want to say is, you know, it's funny that we're nitpicking the Bulls' path to relevancy when before the season we were saying, okay, how do they get to one All-Star? Well, now they have two. So now we're not satisfied with that because obviously in 3-8, there's flaws in what's happened with the pairing of Zach LaVine and Nikola Vucevic, but they do have two All-Stars. So that's the base that they're building on. And Patrick Williams, I completely agree with you, Rob, is a huge third piece. He needs to be a significant two-way force and fast for this plan to work. And then look, Arturas has said it. I reported it the day of the trade deadline before Arturas met with us. The word around all around the league was Arturas is not done. So he's clearly got other moves in mind, what those are. I mean, Lonzo Ball is probably one speculative, it was one likely possibility that he's going to target this offseason. But there's got to be other things too. So that's the long-term plan. But I want to get quickly back to the micro briefly because, Tony, you brought up the defensive issues. And the thing that's jumped out to me in this stretch and these particularly these two losses to the Timberwolves and the Magic is just how mismatched the rotation feels right now. I mean, Billy just obviously is – trying to incorporate a lot of new guys with little practice time who have not played together, some of whom do not know the defensive terminology well, or it's not instinctual. So they're, you know, thinking rather than playing. And it just looks like a hot mess out there. And the lack of cohesiveness and pairings and different combinations is the biggest troubling thing to me. There's one other bigger troubling thing, and that's how you've completely lost Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White. So there's a lot of bad that I just threw out there, and Rob, why don't you take it first and try to talk us off the ledge, or you know, push us over, whatever.
I'm in a pushing mood today, I think. But I think the point you make defensively is great, and you captured this in what you wrote on Wednesday night, Casey, that there was like a kitchen sink quality to the rotation that he threw out against the Magic, Billy Donovan, 12 guys. He clearly doesn't see on the defensive end the personnel that he has as very versatile or flexible. I don't want to call it like a junk coverage or anything like that, but he's clearly just like throwing all of these, again, not gimmicky, but just weird stuff against the wall to try to compensate for the personnel just not being what it should be to be an above average defensive team on a night in, night out basis. So there's that, which is nuanced and probably deserves greater analysis than what we're going to give it on this podcast specifically, because we got a lot to talk about. There's also the issue of just, it seems like the Bulls have just come out completely flat in a lot of these games, especially these winnable games. And normally I think that's kind of a lazy thing for me, a sports reporter sitting at home on my desk chair, watching the games from either my couch or, you know, our perch up in the 200 level of the United Center. Usually I think that's kind of an outlandish thing to say, that guys aren't trying or guys aren't prepared or guys aren't coming out with enough of a sense of urgency, except for the fact that the Bulls admit it after a lot of these games. They come out and say, we didn't have that sense of urgency. We were playing lifeless basketball, Thad Young said last night through the first three quarters, and then woke up for, you know, as Billy Donovan said, 9 minutes in the fourth, and forged this comeback that you kind of knew was always going to come fall short because the deficit was so large, and it just didn't look like they had it. And it's a bummer that we didn't get a chance to talk to anybody today, because the practice that they were, you know, talk about lack of practice time, the one practice that they were scheduled to have seemingly in forever gets called off because of health and safety protocol with the Zach situation. But I've been really eager to ask Billy just kind of what the root of that problem is, that there are so many instances of this team, quote unquote, underestimating opposing teams or taking teams lightly or not coming out with the commensurate urgency. Like, this is a team that has pretty much, if they haven't said it directly, and some have, some haven't, but they've really through their actions professed postseason expectations, and they don't necessarily treat every opponent, especially the beatable ones or the winnable games, like that on a night-night basis. So that's a huge concern too. And that obviously trickles into defense, where a lot of players and coaches will tell you there's an effort and a mentality to it that needs to be there in concert with scheme. So it's a big issue. And again, I don't know if I said this earlier, but they were losing these games when they were healthy. And now that you don't have Zach, I struggle to see how it's going to get much better from here. And, you know, if they back into the play-in, maybe he comes back and you can steal a game or two and you can feel good towards the end of this thing and you can start to put things together. But for right now, for the rest of this season, at least until they are able to start implementing plans that they might have for roster overhaul going into next year, until then, it could be bleak for a little while here.
It's instant conceited face, right, though? You know, because it's like Rob was right. Like,
I love that we're on YouTube so people will get to see you.
Yeah. You're already losing these games with your fully healthy roster, and now your best player or second best player is going to be out for a significant amount of time. And it does look bleak. And defensively, it's fine. Like, they're bad defensively, right? Everybody knows the Bulls are bad defensively. They know that they're bad defensively. Okay, how do you, at least in the short term, how do you compensate for you being bad strategically on defense? Just play hard. Like, that's all you have to do, is just go out there and play hard. Play like nobody respects you, because really, nobody kind of does. Like, I mean, it's cool that you got these two all-stars, but you still are the Bulls. Like, you still are what your record is. You've earned every bit of what that record looks like the last couple of seasons. You've had a regime change. You had a coaching change. So what else? What other excuses do you have? Like, Wendell, Rob, you mentioned that in some cases players have spoke out on this. Like, they don't just sometimes don't take these bad teams seriously. And I'm using air quotes for those that are just listening, because they are a bad team. So I don't know.
Last night.
Yeah, I don't know where they get this idea that they are past that stage just because Zach LaVine and Vucevic is still here. Obviously, since you made that trade, you're still awful. You still have been bad. So I don't know where that thought process is coming from. And Wendell isn't here anymore. Like, a lot of people that were here during that mindset where they were saying, like, we're just not playing hard, they're gone now. So who else on the roster is still thinking this way, that still has this mentality that they can just come out with whatever presumed bad team that they're playing against and they can just beat them? Like, I don't know where it's coming from. And it's obviously still in this room. And now I'm looking at Billy, because this is his roster now. Why aren't your guys playing hard at the beginning of games? Like, and he takes these early timeouts. What are you saying in these early timeouts, that they continue to come out of those timeouts and still be bad?
All right, we've pushed off the cliff. Now we got to come up with a prescription. Now we got to be the doctors to fix this. And it's actually funny, because I rarely advocate for lineup changes or, you know, off. And we've asked over the last couple of games in pregame sessions with Billy, and he's been very resistant to them. In fact, he's countered Tony, counter to your point, that the starts have actually been fine of late. So I rarely advocate for lineup changes. But even before the Zach news, I was actually on talking to somebody earlier today, and I suggested that I think that it's time to just try some, because you're getting so little impact from three key players, one starter in Patrick Williams and two reserves in Lauri Markkanen and Kobe White. So when that's happening, you've got to try something different. All right, now this is all off the table, because guess what? There is going to be a lineup change, because somebody has to start for Zach LaVine. So here's our opportunity to stop pushing and being angry and come up with rational prescription to fix what ails the Bulls over these next however many games Zach is out for. So who's your starting lineup for Friday night against Memphis? We're going to start with you, Rob.
Here's where I don't know. I don't know where Garrett Temple is at this point, because he played 10 minutes in his first game back against Orlando. I've been thinking about this a little bit today, and I really think I would probably just slot him in to the two guard spot and lean into the stylistic changes that they've been implementing, where it's, we're going to run things through the post through Thad and Vooch and spot up Temple, spot up Pat, have Sato and Temple bring the ball up and have guys cutting and things like that around those kind of two post hubs in Thad and Vooch. That's kind of the most rational, maybe it's the safe option, but that was kind of my first thought in terms of what I would do when Temple is ready to play a starter's complement of minutes. I don't know if he's there yet, because Billy had him on a 15 to 20 minute limit for Orlando. He only ended up playing 10 of those. So I'm just not sure where he's at. That was my first thought. I'll tell you what I wouldn't do is put Lowry in at the three, but we'll see. Like, maybe that'll happen again. Cause again, the one game that Zach missed this season, that is what they went with. They went with, the jumbo lineup of Sato, P. Will, Lowry, Thad and Vooch. So that's probably the one that I wouldn't do. I mean, maybe they'll test it out again. It depends kind of how many games we're working with here. And then I think another option would be to slide Kobe back into the starting lineup. From what we've seen from Kobe over the last couple of games, I wouldn't necessarily feel good about that, but maybe a role change could, give him some juice, reinvigorate him a little bit. Cause what's really been missing are the scoring outbursts from Kobe. That's what gives him the leash. That's what you let him out there to do. And you, you see, like, when those come to fruition, even if it's spotty, like, that is what validates kind of giving him the free reign and the opportunity. Those just haven't been there over the last month or two. So maybe if you slid him back into the two guard spot and that started to happen more frequently, that could be a little bit of a solve. But my safe option and my preferred option is probably Temple when he's ready. But there's a lot of different directions Billy could go with this. And I honestly couldn't make a prediction as to what he's going to do. I really don't know.
No, these are our lineups, not his. So this is less about predicting what Billy's going to do and more what we think he should do. So sure. Tony, you're next. You got a starting five for us against Memphis Grizzlies.
I think I don't think there is a point in terms of trying to make a roster or a lineup that helps you defensively. I think you just got to go all in on the offense and try and outscore people at this point, because it hasn't worked. And then you've put in Daniel Tice, you know, where you can. I think they just got to play to their strengths, and that means all in on the offense. I would like Garrett Temple. That would be cool. But again, like Rob said, I don't know where he's at physically. I don't know if, I mean, last time we saw him fully healthy, his offense wasn't that great either. Yeah. so I think you got to find a way to get Lowry in there and Kobe. Like, they need offense. And Sato has been so up and down with his offense. It's like, who do I know that, given the minutes and the adequate time in a game, can I have the best opportunity to get buckets? And it's Kobe and it's Lauri Markkanen. And you kind of just throw caution to the wind on defense. Hopefully they can stay in some front of some people. But I think you just have to go all in on the offense. This is my thought process at this point.
All right. Well, I didn't think you'd steal my thunder, but I also advocate for starting Lauri Markkanen. But I think mostly just because you're not getting anything from him from the bench. You've completely lost him. So I actually would start Tomas Satoransky. I would start Troy Brown Jr., even though I know he's
That's a good name.
Yeah, even though I know he's small forward, but you can play him in a multi-wing attack. Yeah. Patrick Williams. I would debate maybe moving him to the bench as well. Lauri Markkanen and Nikola Vucevic. And again, yes, the Vucevic-Markkanen pairing was not good in the one game they tried it. The second game that Lowry started, it was a small forward, so it was mitigated a little bit. But I just think you got to try something to get Lowry going, because he's lost right now. So try it again. And there, I think you've got three defensive-minded players there. Your bigs are obviously a little defensively challenged. But, P. Will's a two-way player. Troy Brown. Yeah, well, in theory. Not right now, he's not. But let me finish. Troy Brown is a defensive-minded player, and then Sato can be an effective two-way player. So that offsets a little bit. Thad is fine in any role. Mm-hmm. Kobe, I agree, right now needs to be coming off the bench just because I think he's more lost than Lowry is. Because actually, you know what? Lowry, if you, you know, defensively, it's been an issue, particularly in his minutes at small forward. Mm-hmm. But he's still shooting the ball pretty well for how limited of minutes he's getting and how limited shots he's getting. So you got to just – you got to get something out of that guy, I think. So I would start those five against Memphis. Tell me who wants to tell me first why I'm crazy.
I'm kind of seeing where you're coming from in the sense that, first of all, if you're going to start Lowry, even though I don't like the Vucevic market and front court combo, I like that better than putting him at the three and keeping Thad at the four. There's also something to me of Thad, if you're going to play him 20 to 25 minutes a game anyway, which is what it seems like when he played 14 against Orlando, which I still don't really think I didn't understand, or we didn't really get an explanation for. But you at least get his playmaking on the bench. And I just, that makes a little bit of sense to me so that you can stagger reserves and starters a little bit easier and still have some kind of playmaking offensive creation. And you just have more shooting if you have Lowry kind of playing off of Vooch in terms of spotting up and cutting and things like that. So I see where you're going with it. I could see the logic for it. There's no right answer here. There's no good answer here just because of the personnel and what type of dire situation the Bulls are in. Troy Brown Jr., I can't believe I didn't think of that when I was thinking Garrett Temple. I guess I just trust, even though Temple's jumper can be a little streaky, I suppose I just trust him a little bit more over a larger sample size than Brown in terms of his outside shooting right now. But for those guys to me are fairly.
That's why, to me, makes sense coming off the bench because you're throwing offense in with Markkanen. And then you have like a more of a offensive minded player for that second unit. And Thad is a two way guy too. So that's my thought process there.
I could get behind that. I would pick that and the Temple at the two, but everything else the same option that I came up with. Those are probably my two favorites of the ones we brainstormed.
By the way, whoever's watched this on YouTube, I don't usually mess with my hair this much, but I'm a big guy. I can't take it anymore. They were giving me a hard time for this, but here's some YouTube excitement for our YouTube followers.
Those Leafs right there?
Yeah, I got this at a bar when I was covering hockey in the 90s in Toronto. So it's authentic and official, and I still have it because I'm cheap. Speaking of cheap, I have a confession to make before we almost wrap this up. We are also going to go to points bet because I want to just publicly thank and acknowledge and also apologize to Thad Young for the listeners out there. Because I did not feel like we addressed this properly on the last podcast. So it's been kind of gnawing at me. And now that since I'm driving this one, I get this opportunity. So I will say that for those of you who are regular listeners, we were delighted that Thad Young joined us for a very revealing and candid and genuine interview. Showed a lot of human stuff. Fantastic interview. Always appreciate the opportunity to talk to Thad. But for those of you who are our devoted fans and serious listeners, might have noticed that it got cut off pretty abruptly at the end, right when Jason was trying to wrap things up and jokingly get a Denzel Valentine rap album review. And the reason, which was not addressed in the last podcast, which I'm going to address now, it was cut off, is because I am cheap and I had the basic Zoom and I was recording. And I did not know that it ran out after 40 minutes until it ran out after 40 minutes on Mr. Thad Young. So I've already gotten word to him that I apologize for my unprofessionalism, but I'm saying it here in public while also thanking his appearance and outing myself, which my two teenage sons know very well, for the cheap, or I should say frugal person that I am. So.
And now you've reminded me that we should have brought up Denzel Valentine in the who should start at the two conversation. Yeah. Maybe we should wrap this up.
Let's go.
We should wrap this up. But do we have a points bet or not?
We currently do not have a points bet, but thanks a lot for points bet for sponsoring us in our pre and post game show. Your number one space for points for betting and gambling and all the things that you guys do to make some money. And PointsBet has all you need. So thanks a lot.
You know what? I got one if we want to do one.
Okay, let's go.
Let's find Ja Morant's point total props for tomorrow. Because Friday night will be
We said that last time.
Especially because they played pretty damn good defense against him. I mean, he's still had a good game.
Yeah.
And, You know what I'm saying? In the two games that he's played against the Bulls in his career, he hasn't had like a lot of high point outages.
Right. And I thought he played still very well. He almost had a double-double. I think he had 9 and 10. And he obviously had that incredible dunk. Yeah. So, I mean, he still made his impact on the game. It's just he didn't go off. And
yeah, yeah.
I actually thought they played pretty darn good team defense out of him. So.
Yeah. And you know what? I Bulls fans love Ja. And it's easy because he looks like Derek. Like when he plays, the way he moves on the basketball court. And obviously, I think he's a better passer than Derek was. Just more naturally gifted at passing than Derek. But just his athleticism, like, it's just so reminiscent of watching Derrick Rose. And I, the more I think about it, like, just how fantastic it would have been if the Bulls were able to grab him. Like, because it would have felt like Derrick 2.0.
Yeah, not the same player, but the explosiveness and the athleticism. Yeah. So, did you find a points bet, Rob?
Well, they're actually not listed because we're recording this on a Thursday evening and the game is tomorrow night. So,
all right.
I'm glad you sparked a little conversation there, but we don't have any numbers. Go to pointsbet.com, though, and check those out or download the PointsBet app. If you feel like the Bulls are going to stifle Ja Morant tonight as you're listening to this, or if you feel like they won't, you could probably make some money either way.
And we want to thank you for listening to the Bulls Talk podcast. As always, thanks to my colleagues, Rob Schaefer and Tony Gill. Jason will be back next week. Hang in there, Bulls fans. It's going to be it's always interesting viewing, win or lose. Well, not always interesting, but a lot of times it's interesting.
Casey, we work for the TV partner.
No,
it's always interesting.
It's always interesting viewing, but it's some of the games have been a little lacking, yeah. Shall we say.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yes, I do work for the rights holders. Shout out to the rights holders. And yeah, this podcast needs to end. So thank you for listening. And we'll be back next week with more of the Bulls Talk podcast. We hope you enjoyed the Bulls Talk podcast presented by Coors Light. Find us on Stitcher, Apple Podcasts, and Spotify. Subscribe if you like the show. Feel free to rate and review us. New episodes are ready every Tuesday and Friday morning.
Look around. You can find cars like these on AutoTrader. New cars, used cars, electric cars, maybe even flying cars. Okay, no flying cars, but as soon as they get invented, they'll be on AutoTrader. Just you wait. AutoTrader.